You are listening to Mind Over Matters here on KCMU 90.3 FM. In honor of this Memorial Day weekend, an interview with Pat Brody, widow of Atomic veteran Chuck Brody, about her fight to get justice for her husband and other U.S. servicemen unwittingly used as guinea pigs in the U.S. nuclear weapons test program. Here's Pat Brody.
My husband was an atomic veteran, and he died of what we feel was radiation poisoning. And he died in 1977. And he had filed a claim with the Veterans Administration, which was denied before he died. And upon his death, I filed a claim with the VA. In addition, in 1978, I filed a lawsuit against the government for wrongful death, which was denied several times. So we refiled again after a judge at the Ninth Circuit hinted that perhaps if we stated that the government did not know the dangers of radiation until after my husband retired in 1960, that perhaps we could use that as what they call a post-discharge failure to warn. The government did not warn him after his discharge. So we did that. We refiled, and we spent a total of about 8 years on both of them. Wound up at the Ninth Circuit again. We're in discovery proceedings, and that's when the government sent me a motion for summary judgment, which is a motion to dismiss the case. And in that motion, they stated very clearly, and then they attached, probably about 2 inches of paper, which were documents showing that the government did know the dangers of radiation even before Hiroshima and Nagasaki, but they felt that it was worth the sacrifice of a few men for the good of the country. So, and that was said in open court. That was during the hearing on the motion, that last statement that I made. Needless to say, I was very angry about this, and I at the same time was going through the Veterans Administration procedures with various denials and appeals until about 1988. And at that time, probably in 1987, I was working the Hill in Washington repeatedly with several others and several of the veterans organizations, DAV, American Legion, so forth, for compensation for the atomic veterans. And each time we went to one of the legislators' offices, we had to educate because nobody had ever heard of nuclear testing. The men had been sworn to secrecy and told that they would be guilty of treason if they talked about their experiences during the testing period, which was from counting Hiroshima and Nagasaki, from 1945 through 1963. So my husband never talked about it. I did not know what he had been through, and none of the other widows knew, because their husbands were sworn to secrecy, and they were very dedicated Marines and Army and Air Force and Navy, and they weren't about to be arrested for treason, so they didn't talk. And I would venture to say that there's probably a lot of guys that are buried with that secret still locked in their hearts because they never talked to their wives, and their wives never were aware that they could possibly get benefits from the VA. And it was a plan. It was meant to be that way. I have documents which I have obtained through the Freedom of Information Act that state that very, very thing. You know, we don't want this publicized because we were concerned that there might be lawsuits filed against the government. Well, as it turned out, they don't have to worry because Senator John Warner introduced legislation, which was became law at the behest of President Reagan, to make all of the contractors who had anything at all to do with the manufacture or testing of the bomb, to make them employees of the government. Thereby, they enjoy the same benefits that the government does regarding the inability to sue. In other words, the contractors cannot be sued by people who feel that the contractors were responsible for the particular bomb that their husband was exposed to. And so it's just become a real rat race as far as the veterans are concerned. Well, with all of this going on in 1988, and we had been, getting back to that again, we had been interviewed by numerous legislators, and I testified about 20 times before Congress over the years. And so finally it started coming out. And then Hazel O'Leary, bless her heart, was responsible for getting the Advisory Committee on Human Radiation Experiments, getting it to be a known entity. And so with all of this information coming out, everything was being declassified. So I spent a lot of time in the archives and got a lot of documents. But that was just recently. You go back to 1988 again. That's when the first law was introduced, or it became law. It was a bill that was introduced by Alan Cranston and several other of the senators on the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee. And what that law states is that, okay, we've got a list of 13 cancers here, and these are presumptive. This is a presumptive list. Any cancer on this list, if you have that cancer and you were at a nuclear test, or your widow says that her husband was at a nuclear test and has one of the diseases that's listed on this 100-321 is the name of the public law, then you will be entitled to compensation. So my husband had died of lymphosarcoma, which was one of the listed diseases. And at that time in 1988, I finally was awarded benefits, widow's benefits, which don't amount to an awful lot, but it beats nothing. But I continued working for the veterans, and I, again, getting back to Hazel O'Leary and her advisory committee on human radiation experiments, that was a real eye-opener for a lot of people, where a lot of people, Americans and others, had never heard of the nuclear testing used as an experiment on the veterans. There were over 450,000 servicemen from all over the country exposed to nuclear fallout, radiation fallout, as a result of the tests and as a result of their occupation of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. There were 200,000 of them that were sent to Hiroshima and Nagasaki as occupation troops. And, of course, they were exposed to the residual radiation. So when you count the 200,000 that were exposed in Japan, and you add that to the 250,000 that were exposed in the nuclear testing in both Nevada and the Pacific, you come up with about 450,000 total servicemen. In addition to the servicemen, the Marshall Islanders were affected very seriously. Fortunately for the Marshall Islanders, however, they've been awarded benefits and medical care that our veterans are not privy to. We can't get the same benefits that the Marshall Islanders get. But more and more and more has come out recently about not just the veterans, but about the workers in the nuclear bomb factories, the plants that manufactured the bombs, and Los Alamos and the big fire there, and about their fear that plutonium would be released. Well, we don't know whether it was or not, because you can't believe everything your government tells you, unfortunately. So now we have awareness. We have awareness of the dangers of radiation. We have awareness of the people who worked in these plants and the downwinders, the people who live downwind from the testing in Nevada. And it wasn't just the downwinders. That stuff goes all over the world, goes up into we've got plutonium floating around up there. That'll be there for a 250,000-year half-life. So we've all got a little piece of plutonium in our bodies, I would imagine. I've been told this by scientists. But we've got the miners, mostly Navajos, that mined the uranium southwest.
Nevada, New Mexico area?
Right, yeah. Right, in that area. And so the miners are... Fortunately, now they've got a law that, and some of them are getting benefits. And they have a separate law from the rest of the people who were exposed. And the downwinders in the Utah and Nevada area, a lot of the children had childhood leukemias. And there are concerns about offspring. We don't know. You know, we don't know how many generations it's going to take before these anomalies show up. Some of them have already showed up. But it's forever. It never goes away. So what we're saying, what I'm trying to say, I guess, is that our biggest problem now is storage of the waste. What are we going to do with all those rods that are stored in pools alongside the nuclear power plants? We don't have any place to put them right now. And we don't know what to do with them. And we don't know what the people who live downwind from Hanford, Washington. My God, that's the worst place in the world. Hanford, Washington. They've got this stuff stored, this old sludge stored in these huge vats, double-walled steel vats. And they observe them. They stand around and watch them. And every once in a while, a big bubble comes up and it burps. And if it doesn't burp, then they really get concerned. But they release the uranium from the plant, and it went out onto the farmland around there, and the cows, and the same thing happened in Nevada and Utah. The cattle eat the grass and whatever else they can eat, the forage, and then their milk contains plutonium or uranium or strontium-90 or whatever, and the children drink the milk. There have been so many lawsuits filed, none of them have gone to fruition. None of them have been heard by our Supreme Court. Our Supreme Court protects these murderers, and that's exactly what they are. They have murdered, our government has murdered children, men and women, all over the world. And it's not just our government. It's the Chinese, it's the French, it's the anyone who has ever detonated an atomic bomb, any government that has ever authorized the detonation of an atomic bomb, is guilty of murder. And I think the worst of it's yet to come because of the fact that we don't know what to do with the leftovers. And that's a big problem right now. Nobody wants it. You know, it's the old NIMBY thing, not in my backyard. And so every time there's a site suggested, there's a hue and cry and a big outpouring of NIMBYism. You just don't want that in my backyard. So what are we going to do with it? We don't know. Nobody knows right now. So
with the focus again that's come up lately with the recent DOE admittals too, that perhaps they did actually irradiate 600,000 of their workers.
Oh, it's 600,000 now?
Well, that's the account I had
that's
read.
That's the latest, huh?
Well, I don't know if that's actually that was several months back, and I think the original New York Times article that had come forward. But certainly it's come out. The focus in the media is somewhat on these issues, although even with that recent focus, I mean, it seemed to be up on the radar for a little while, and now it's off. It's only the real advocates like yourself that keep the issue out there. Does the recent exposure in the media bring hope for you that certainly more people know about it now than did before? And
people are much more aware. However, they don't know, because nothing has been said in the press recently, at least nothing that I have read, mentions the atomic veterans. If you note, all of the articles that you've read are talking about the plant workers, people who worked in the plants that supplied the materials for the nuclear bombs. Have you read anything about the atomic bomb, the atomic veterans?
No, not at all.
Exactly. And what happens is that if you bring up the subject of atomic veterans, somebody will say, oh, well, they're all taken care of. They've got the Veterans Administration. Well, the Veterans Administration's our enemy. You know that 450,000 guys that were exposed, you know how many have gotten benefits? And most of those are widows? Less than 500. Now, that was as of 2 years ago. The last hearing that I attended in 1998, it was a Senate hearing, that was the number that was given to us at that time by the VA, Veterans Administration. Now, they do everything in their power to keep you from getting the rightful benefits that you're entitled to. And I don't know how many employees the VA has, but I'd venture to say it's numerous, because they've got them all over the country. Are they protecting their jobs? I don't know. I don't know what their plan is. But it seems like all the other veterans, World War II, Korea, finally, Vietnam, and in particular the people who were in the Middle East recently, they've all gotten a lot of benefits. Rightly so. They should. In fact, the Vietnam veterans' children are even getting benefits for spinal bifida, which is great. But we tried to get an epidemiological study of our children, and they studied it for 6 months and then determined, this is the National Academy of Science, which is, of course, an arm of the government, even though they deny it. They studied that for 6 months, and then they determined that it wasn't feasible to do an epidemiologic study of our children. Well, when you get too close to the truth, I guess that's the cop-out. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know what the answer is for the atomic veterans. The problem is that there's too much working against them. It's like the nuclear power plants have got a very large lobby. And if they admit that that radiation is hazardous to your health, it's going to affect their business. Well, now that all this other stuff is coming out, and those contractors that are that used to be protected by Senator Warner's amendment, I don't know whether they still are or not. I don't know whether those people are going to be awarded benefits. I understand from reading articles about it that they are projecting something like $200,000 if for a person who has been injured by radiation exposure. I don't know what's going to happen. I know that they can't file a lawsuit. And if they do, they're going to get shot down by about six different laws that say you can't file a lawsuit against the government or its contractors. So it's going to be interesting to see what's going to happen with those people who worked for the contractors. Probably out of court settlements. I don't know. But when your representatives say, well, I'm going to introduce legislation that's going to give you $200,000 if you die from radiation exposure because you worked in a factory where you handled nuclear materials, you think, oh, that's fine. You're going to wait until we're all dead. And this is what the veterans, every time we have a little meeting, and the meetings are getting smaller and smaller, because the guys are all getting older and older and deader and deader. And so the few that are remaining say, hey, there's not that many of us left, so when we're all gone, then they'll start giving benefits to the widows. If the widows know anything at all about their husband's exposure, which most of them don't.
And that's because they weren't told at the time, and have a lot of the records disappeared?
Well, when I first got involved with this, when I first filed my claim with the Veterans Administration, I was told that the records were all burned up in a fire in St. Louis in 1973. Well, there was a fire, and it destroyed some Army and some Air Force records, and it was of suspicious origin, quote, unquote. My husband was in the Marine Corps, so his records were not in that fire. So I shot that one down when I found out the truth. And then I found out that the government, I guess it's a Navy document that I have, that states that there's two sets of records for everybody who was exposed to radiation. Now, this is not well known, but I've found evidence of it in going through my records, that there is a separate record which is kept on people who were involved in nuclear testing. Now, these are military. And something that was a big, about 2 or 3 years ago, there was something about a document that was discovered out here in Laguna Niguel, in our archives out here. And I made a copy of it and sent it around to whoever I could send it to. And it listed hundreds of radioactive doses. And what it no names, of course, they'd all been redacted. But these doses were huge. And according to the memorandum that accompanied this document, they were asking for permission to allow these larger doses because this was such an important test. The test was shot Bravo of Operation Castle. And it was such an important shot, such an important experiment, that they were allowing the veterans to have larger doses, and it listed the doses. I sent it to people in Washington, and it, you know, Jack Anderson wrote a column about it, a couple columns, and And so it made news for a couple of days. That was it. And then I was told that the Secretary of Veterans Affairs himself had taken that list and gone down through the records. I don't believe this, but, you know, this makes nice for the Secretary. But there are separate records for the veterans who were exposed to radiation, and we can't get them. I've tried Freedom of Information. I've gotten enough of them to prove that there are separate records, but I haven't gotten my husband's complete file yet. So it's our government is responsible for a lot of lost lives, a lot of very ill people. And it's so shameful, and it is so hard for me to believe. When I first found out all this information, I couldn't believe it. You know, my husband was a 20-year career fighter pilot, Marine Corps, tough guy, very, very, very patriotic, and is a wife of a major in the Marine Corps. I was a very proud wife. I was a very proud person to be married to such a wonderful man. And that wonderful man was murdered by his own government, along with a lot of other wonderful men. So it's like, you find out that your best friend or your mother or father has done this horrible deed, and it's such a shock to find out what has been done in the name of, I don't know, in the name of what? What were they trying to prove with these, putting these men out there in those trenches and dropping bombs so that they could be exposed to radiation? What were they trying to prove? That we were tougher than the Russians, the Soviets? Were we going to get there first with the biggest? That's exactly what the little game was. It's the boys and their toys. These guys, these scientists, they all wanted to have their favorite toy used as an experiment. They wanted each bomb that was detonated was a different type. And they wanted to know how each of these bombs was going to react. And they made it possible to do this with their own military and classified all their records. So who is ever going to know? That's why nothing is ever mentioned in the newspapers, even today, about the military being exposed, about the number of deaths that have occurred in the military. You don't hear about that.